Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
BB.
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Zach Zaidman in for Mike Mulligan this week, and we are pleased to bring in Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, and Mike joins us on the Alpamonte 4 hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Mike. How you doing down there in West Virginia?
Hey, we're doing okay. How are you guys?
Making the best of it, doing what we can do, you know, social distancing, working at home, all the things that have become our new normal, kind of getting used to it. Meanwhile, Mike, the NFL keeps chugging, keeps on making news, keeps on making headlines. Free agency has kept us busy here in Chicago. Before we get to some other league issues and things going on around the NFL, Nick Foles, I have seen referred to as one of the most overrated moves of the offseason and one of the most important moves of the offseason. Where are you on the Bears trade for the quarterback?
Well, the thing about Nick Foles, he's had moments in his career where he has played incredibly well. He first hit our radar screens back in 2013 when he tied an all-time record with 7 touchdown passes, no interceptions against the Raiders. It prompted then Eagles coach Chip Kelly to declare that he will be the team's quarterback for the next 1,000 years. They dumped him not long after that for Sam Bradford in a trade that shocked everyone. It was a miserable experience for Nick Foles with the Rams. He had 1 year with the Chiefs where he played in a couple of games and he wasn't horrible. And that was his second exposure to Matt Nagy. He was with Nagy in Philadelphia in 2012 as a rookie. But in 2017, that Super Bowl run, I don't know whether or not it was a sign of what Foles is capable of doing or whether it was some sort of a football version of Slumdog Millionaire where everything just fell together just perfectly for Nick Foles, and it all just landed in his lap, and it was right place at the right time, right place at the right time, right place at the right time. Next thing you know, you win the Super Bowl. Based on everything we've seen since then, you could argue that it was just kind of a unique moment in time, although he was promising down the stretch in 2018 when Carson Wentz got injured again, and he got the Eagles to the brink of the NFC Championship game. A drop pass from Alshon Jeffery kept the Eagles from possibly beating the Saints and moving on. And then last year he broke a collarbone week one, so you really can't get a read on where he is. But look, of all the guys out there who were available, between Andy Dalton and Nick Foles, I'd want Nick Foles. Between Teddy Bridgewater and Nick Foles, I'd want Nick Foles. So the relationship with Nagy and the fact that if Foles ends up as the backup initially or has a competition with Mitchell Trubisky and Trubisky wakes up and becomes the guy they've wanted him to be, Foles will be the right guy to be the number two. He's not going to be moody. He's not going to be pouty. He's not going to be a jerk. He'll do everything he can to help Trubisky and be ready to go in the event Trubisky gets injured, giving you a much better alternative, frankly, than Chase Daniel as the backup if and when Trubisky can't play.
Right. I agree with you there. That, to me, is the biggest thing, is you cannot put yourself in a position where if you feel as though Trubisky is costing you an opportunity to win, you just want to have a backup that can start immediately, understands the offense, and can do a much better job than what you saw from Chase Daniel last season. So I think given the climate that we have in the world right now where you're not going to have a real NFL offseason, it's nice to be able to slide in a guy who knows the offense, knows the verbiage, understands what needs to be done with minimal reps, and that's Nick Foles. And to me, it makes your football team better. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, Tom Brady is going to be talking to the media via conference call. What do you want to hear from him that you haven't heard yet?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I need to hear anything from Tom Brady, because it's not like he's going to give us a candid, frank assessment of anything, right? It's a lot of canned answers. It's Patriot way. I mean, unless he says all of a sudden, thank God I'm finally away from that butthole Bill Belichick and I can actually speak my mind. I mean, really, what's he going to say? It's going to be a lot of cliches. It's going to be a lot of rah-rah bullcrap. And yeah, I'll pay attention to it because that's my job, but I've got no expectations of Tom Brady saying anything that's going to be particularly enlightening or useful or interesting, because he's wired to be basically a robot who, says words that, have some meaning, but ultimately don't tell us anything.
Mike, the breaking news this morning, as you know, is that the postponement of the 2020 Summer Olympic Games to 2021, no later than the summer of 2021. And obviously that's in July. And obviously some of the reasons made that decision was made today have to do with the training and the fairness and a lot of things moving forward. But when you look at the NFL, does it have any, do you think, impact on the way that they will view how to frame their decision-making process and what to expect, you know, as training camps, which typically open the end of July and the beginning of August?
I just hope that people at the NFL at a high level are doing everything they can to identify every question and plan for every contingency. This is not an organization that has a reputation for being proactive. Typically, they wait for something to occur and then they decide how best to clean up the mess. This is one where they need to know every way the dominoes can fall, and they need to have a plan in place for how to clean them up based upon how that occurs. And they have to be ready for... they have to be ready for no season. That has to be one of your contingencies. What happens if there's no season? They have to at least have a plan for that. And then they have to have a plan for doing everything they can to ensure there's a season, even if it means no fans in attendance, right? And even if it means every player getting a COVID-19 test before every game, assuming that by the time we get to September, there will be much cheaper and more efficient ways to get tests for everyone who needs to be tested. You test the players before every game. If you're negative, you play. If you're positive, you don't, and you just play the games. And then they have to consider the opportunity that may be there. You've got Mack Brown, the North Carolina head coach, who was at Texas for years before he went back to Chapel Hill. He's openly wondering whether or not they're going to be able to play college football. And really, college football in empty stadiums, I don't know that that works. I don't know that TV money alone can sustain the college model. And I don't know that it will be efficient to test every college football player. The rosters are larger. The coaching staffs, are in some cases bigger. You've got more people milling around a program than you do at the NFL level. What if there's no college football? The NFL could then start playing games Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night. They could dominate the sports landscape. They could be the only major football that happens this year. I mean, high school football, if there's any concern about college or pro, I think high school football programs will be shut down for a year in most jurisdictions. So they just have to plan for all of this. At this point, we don't know. And it would be foolish to assume there won't be football. It would be foolish to assume there will be football. We're just at a stage where we don't know. And next Wednesday is April 1, and April becomes May, becomes June, becomes July, becomes holy crap, we better have a plan. And I hope they have a plan now and not later.
Is there a date in which you need to know whether or not there's going to be football to be able to put some sort of schedule together, maybe even an abbreviated season if that's needed, because there are so many unknowns in this mix?
Yeah, I think that they just have to make their plans based upon what they know at a given time. And I don't know that there's a drop-dead date for knowing that you're going to have a season. If there is, it's not coming anytime soon. And it's one of those things where we'll all kind of know. Right. And based upon the way the NFL handled the league meetings that were due to start this weekend, based upon the way they handled the draft, I think everyone else will know before the NFL announces. Like, it'll be a foregone conclusion if it gets to that point. Hopefully it doesn't, for a variety of reasons, the most important of which is I want us to be out of the grips of this thing. And if we get football season potentially at jeopardy, that tells me we're not out of the grips of this thing. But, you know, I think we'll all know if it gets to that point. And then the NFL will announce what we already are aware of. But I think they're going to do everything they can to play. Look, there was an item yesterday from ESPN about the NBA possibly, as of April 15, not paying players. And there is a clear provision in the NBA's collective bargaining agreement that allows the NBA to stop paying players. It's a force majeure clause. It is basically things happening beyond our control, war, epidemic, etc. They have the right to not pay the players. There's nothing like that in the NFL's CBA. And I looked through that thing yesterday. I looked at the NFL standard player contract. There is nothing that allows the NFL to say forces beyond our control prevent us from playing football, and we don't have to pay you if that happens. I think they got to pay the players, which tells me they're going to do everything they can to make sure they play those games. And, you know, again, whether it's empty studio, whether it's a hotel ballroom, whether it's a specifically like in a practice facility. Yeah, I mean, they're going to play and they're going to televise it and they're going to make their billions televising it. And they may make even more if they can expand to other windows if college football isn't playing. But I just think the mere fact that they're not going to have an easy way out from paying the players tells me that they're going to end up finding a way to play those games.
Mike, you referenced the draft, and before we let you go, we know the league moved it out of Vegas. They've also started to make some plans about putting it in a studio. Is there any consideration to changing the dates, or will they be firm, and where do you think it will take place?
They're firm on that date, and I think what's going to happen is they're going to have a TV set up somewhere, and they're thinking of different things they can do, cutting to team headquarters for selections to be made there. I think whatever they do, they need to have Roger Goodell announced the picks. Love him or hate him, cheer him or boo him, and maybe they need to pipe in some crowd noise of booing when he makes the picks. But I think we all, I know I do, I want it to be as normal as possible. And the one way you make it normal is you give us the one thing that we all tune in for. We tune in for Roger Goodell announcing the picks. Whether he walks up to a podium in a room that no one is there, whether he's sitting in front of a fireplace in his house with slippers and a pipe and a glass of scotch and a dog there, you know, whatever it is, he needs to be the one reading off the picks the first night. After that, they can do whatever they want. But that first night needs to feel like the first night. And the best way to make that happen is have Goodell reading off the names.
And we can do without the awkward man hugs. I think we will get by this year without having that.
There are benefits to social distancing.
Yeah. There definitely are. Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
See you guys. Thanks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.